Awesome.
All right, everybody have a seat, welcome. This is the session entitled Principles for the Leader's Marriage, the Woman's Perspective. You already missed the men's perspective, but get the notes. This is Ruth Jansen. And this workshop is sponsored by the Holy Home or the Walter Holy Home.
Awesome. Well, hi, everyone. Hello. It's so good to have you here. It's hard because I know everybody's hungry, but hang in there. You know, we'll make it. Okay, so I'm doing Principles for the Leader's Marriage, of course, a woman's perspective. If you were expecting to be in a different class, then that's what we're doing now. If you need the notes for the man's perspective, it's on the opposite side. It's upside down on purpose because we have a different perspective. And the answers are at the bottom, an answer key. So if you say, well, I wasn't in the men's part, then it's there for you, okay? So anyway, I just want to share this with you. 7 life-giving principles to strengthen and guide a leader's marriage in ministry. I thought it should be better titled How to Survive, Thrive in Ministry Without Killing Each Other. Yeah, totally. Anybody sometimes feel that way? Yeah, okay. Well, no one has to kill anybody. This is my husband, Tim. We've been married for 32 years. Yes, I got married very young. I was a baby, but so ready. I'm kind of like those old souls, you know? And so, yeah, we got married and have you ever wondered, can I ever have a happily ever after? Can I do that? Well, I'm going to show you that, yes, you can have a happily ever after. All right? And so I'm going to just share a video with you. It's a 2-minute clip. And this is our wedding. Sorry if it's a little...
From this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, to live in this part. What hope have you given by to you faithfully perform this best?
That's Tim with hair.
Questions
and answers. I'm not sure which. Oh, that's the resource. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Remember those days? Oh, they're back. I know. Listen, yeah. All right. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6 says, it's not on your outline, so write it down. Wisdom has built her house. She has set it on seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come and eat my food and drink the wine of I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the ways, the way of insight. Now, I love how the message speaks this for it. It says, Lady Wisdom has built and furnished her home. It's supported by seven hewn timbers. The banquet meal is ready to be served, lamb roasted, wine poured out, table set with silver and flowers. There are your flowers, ladies. Having dismissed her serving maids, Lady Wisdom goes to town, stands in a prominent place, and invites everyone within sound of her voice. Are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Come with me, oh come, have dinner with me. I've prepared a wonderful spread, fresh bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning. Now, this passage speaks of wisdom personified it as a woman. It's an imagery symbolizing a meaningful and fulfilled life of embracing wisdom. Now we know what the beginning of wisdom is, right? What is the beginning of wisdom? Yes, absolutely. Now the contrast also is spoken in this scripture, verses 13 to 18. So you might want to write that down. It speaks of folly personified as an unruly woman. Whoa. Proverbs 9, verses 13 to 18, but the prior one was 1 to 6. So you're talking about the wise woman versus the foolish. It says, folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, at the seat, at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Wow. The message says she's a madam prostitute, brazen, empty-headed, frivolous. Wow. Now, these two passages are contrast to one another. The difference is wisdom versus folly. Wisdom leads to a life of knowledge, understanding, true happiness. Wisdom promises a life of joy and fulfillment, while folly lures with the illusion of a temporary pleasures that ultimately lead to ruin. So which will we choose? Right, the life of wisdom. In short, don't be stupid. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Amen. So we're going to go through seven principles very quickly, and I know I look at the time, but these are things that we have learned together over the years, and his are pretty similar to mine, his perspective, but seven principles that can help strengthen and guide our marriages. Now, everybody has their own marriage. So maybe, you know, you may do it differently, but this is our experience. And I pray that our years of experience, I'm telling you, they started out rocky. Am I right? The first week on our honeymoon, I was that runner. I was that runner wife. You ever heard of the runaway bride? I was that runaway bride. Seriously. We're in Hawaii, beautiful place, and there I am. And I don't know what upset me that day. And I go, that's it. I don't have to put up with this, right? And I walk down to the elevator, and I'm down the hallway, downstairs, and there I am in Waikiki. And I'm saying, I don't know where I am. Where am I going? I get back upstairs on the elevator, and there I am. And this guy over here is on the porch, our little balcony out there, and there he is reading his Bible. I was like really, greater than, you know, holier than thou, you know. But anyway, that's where we started. started, but we didn't end there. And we're not finished yet.
That's right.
Because God's in charge. Amen. And as we yield ourselves to the Lord, guess what? There's a difference. Yeah. When Jesus becomes the lover of your soul, he makes a difference in your marriage. Yes. You know, marriage is a reflection of God and your relationship with him. And so when you yield to him, oh, he can do amazing things. Is it easy? No, no, but it is possible. And I don't just say that. I say it from experience. Did you guys get the resource page yet?
Yes.
Do you see the list?
Yes.
Pastor and I went through every single one of those. I said, wow, we're really messed up. Just kidding. It made us better. It made us better. You got to work on your marriage. Proverbs. So here we go. These are the seven ones. We're flying high, 10,000 feet up in the sky. Number one, don't lose your identity. Don't lose your identity. Know who you are and whose you are. I have scripture references there. We may get to some. We may not get to all of them, but I encourage you to go and read those. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You are God's. You are his choosing. You are beloved. You are loved. Hi, sis. One of my famous things that I stand for, and I have it in my, well, we took it down because of Christmas. It has to go back up, but it always is up. It's this thing. It's you be you. You are a royal priesthood. You are chosen by God.
Amen.
You are his daughter.
Yes.
And don't ever forget that, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. One of my life verses, because Pastor gave his life verse, is Psalm 139, 1 and 2, 13 and 14. But this one, it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, for you have created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are the Lord's, and you have a purpose, and God has a plan for your life.
Amen.
I have a story, and I can't really share a lot of stories, but when I remember in the beginning, when we were first in ministry so many years ago, what, Aaron's going to be 28. So 28 years ago, I was trying to find who I was. Have you ever been to that place where you're like, who am I? Who should I be? And you look to all these people in ministry of who you should follow, right? And I remember very clearly, there was this one wonderful woman of God. I won't share her name today, but she brought me this suit. And she it was a beautiful suit. And she brought me this suit and she said, sister, this is what you should be wearing as a pastor's wife.
God, those days are over.
And I took a breather and I asked the Lord, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, who do you want me to be? How do you want me? And that struggle, right? That struggle that we go through. But you know what? I have to be me. I have to be who God created me to be. And each and every one of you need to be who God called you to be. And be comfortable there. Amen? Number two, here we go. You are called. Your calling is just as valid as your spouse's calling. Do not get lost in the shuffle.
That's right.
Do not allow yourself to be lost in your husband's ministry because you are called beside him. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to know, as we yield to the Lord and his calling on your life, you're gifted. 2 Timothy 1:6 is a reminder. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. God has called you, sister. No offense to the brothers in the room. Yeah, amen. But God has called you as well. And perhaps, yes, we are called together, but there is a mighty calling upon your life that God wants to fulfill in you. And sometimes, I know for me, I get shied away. He's the extrovert, believe it or not. I'm the introvert in the relationship. And it's like, okay, I rather hide behind. I could sit in a corner and be okay with that, you know? And so just be comfortable with your calling and who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number three, submit and uplift. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't like that word submit, right? I think because it hasn't been defined or hasn't been put forth in a proper way.
Amen.
All right, in a proper way. It has been not put forth correctly. But you're on the same team. You're on the same team. God has called you on the same team. Love one another, submit one to another, right? Ephesians 5:26-21 says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Yes. Now remember, Jesus is the lover of your soul, right, ladies?
Yes.
So because he's the lover of your soul, you are more than willing to submit unto him as unto the Lord. That doesn't mean abuse. So if you're in an abusive relationship, whatever, that's not God's way.
Yes,
amen? And amen. We can get you help. I'm serious. I've seen too many things in ministry. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. John 13:34. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You're on the same team. Amen. Encourage and love and uplift one another. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, ladies, we can be the most critical of our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
We can, right?
Yeah.
And so we need to be very mindful that what we're saying is encouraging, not discouraging. And, you know, believe it or not, husbands, they want cheerleaders. They want to know that their spouses are so, you know, enamored and love that person, right? Amen, baby.
Amen.
All right. And so you need to be mindful of how you speak to them, that you speak words of life,
yes,
and affirmation,
amen,
right? Amen. Love one another and support one another. Be your spouse's greatest cheerleader. You got to take out those pom-poms, take them out. Woo! Yeah, baby, you're great. I love you. Yes, that's when we need the most encouragement, right? It's real. It's real. Sometimes, right, you go, oh, my gosh, like, is he going there? Okay. It's okay, right? I have learned over the years, I don't apologize anymore. In my first years of marriage, I used to apologize. Oh, I'm sorry, he didn't mean that. Oh, you know, whatever. No, God's got him. God's got his back. What is it? God's got my back, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, right? Isn't that a song?
Yeah.
All right. God's got his back, right? So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry, right? God's got him. And God, I remember saying, God, can you take care early in the marriage? Lord, when will you make him the leader of our home? When? Because, you know, Tim had fire insurance when we were young in marriage. And so he loved the Lord, but there was like fire service. Okay, Lord. And
I wouldn't go to hell.
And so in those days, it was like, Father, and the Lord showed me in Ephesians, he said, you worry about your part. You worry about what you're doing for me, and I got him. Don't worry about what he's doing. You worry about what you're doing. Amen?
Amen.
All right, number four, ladies. Pray.
Amen.
Stormy O'Martian, who writes the book, A Woman Who Prays, right? Have you heard, you've read that one, or a woman who prays, as a matter of fact, a praying wife, she wrote this one too. Mm-hmm. The power of a praying wife.
Yeah,
so we could give that one out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Who do we want to give it to? All right, who's been married for a year or less?
Nobody?
Oh, wow. God bless you. Oh, let's give her a hand, you guys. I love it. You keep pushing, girl. I love that. Yeah, she's starting. Yep, you start young. That's awesome. Keep going. But pray. Prayer invites, you can write this, this is by this author, prayer invites the power of God into our lives and our marriages. Prayer invites the power of God into our lives and marriages. Take time to pray for, take time to pray with, right? The for, we can pray for our husbands, but we need to take time to pray with our husbands.
Amen.
You become one. The two shall become one flesh.
Yeah.
And as the two of you are seeking the Lord and are yielding yourselves to the Lord and each other, watch and see what God does.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Watch and see. I'm telling you, when Tim and I first got married, people, they did not think we were going to make it. I'm telling you. No, am I right? Let's tell the truth and shame the devil. They didn't think we were going to make it. But you know, we both love Jesus more than anything else. And because we love Jesus, we love each other. And we would pray, Lord, help us. In this situation, there were hurdles that we had to go through, that God had to help us through.
Yes.
And but let me tell you, it makes you stronger. I have never been more close than my husband than today.
Mm-hmm.
We have an intimacy that is beyond the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes deep.
Yes.
And that's that. Woo, you saw at the beginning that video. Yeah, beautiful. Those days are real, and I'm reminded of those days, but this is even better.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He said bald is better. Yes. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be sober-minded. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. You do not have these two, ladies, so please write them down. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. Matthew 26, verse 41. That's when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and he says, but an hour? Can you pray but an hour? Watch and pray. 1 Peter 5:8, like I mentioned, be alert and of sober mind. The devil is not happy. You are a godly marriage.
Yes.
You are having godly children.
Yes, yes, yes.
Be watchful, be sober, be alert. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Resist the devil, he's gotta flee. Peace out, devil. Amen. 5, show affection and date. Honor one another. Yes, date. Date. Well, you say, well, I have kids, we don't have time, our jobs, our ministry. I'm telling you, you have to. You put those babies to bed at 8:30, you get a cup of coffee together, that's a date. You'd be surprised what you can do on that date. He said a little bit of sugar. No, the best gift you can give to your children is to know the security of your marriage. For those of you who have kids, guaranteed. They know mommy and daddy love each other because we're putting forth effort into our marriage. This is important. Yes, the kids will. I know when they're little and they get, even when they get older, even now we have adult children and they still need our time and kind of demand our time. It's like the wildest thing. But we'll say, hey, mom and dad are spending time together right now. There's times we still have to do that. I mean, you know, and I'm like, okay. Show affection to one another. I'm not the most, he says that I'm the more touchy-feely or the more physical touch, but like, I'm gonna just tell you, I have a history, and so as I was young, I went through a lot of hurts and a lot of pains, and so trusting was very difficult, and that would be a whole nother topic at another time of what God did in our lives. But by God's grace, because I have a gentleman in my life, we were able to navigate those hard times of being affectionate and dating and being intimate. And so is God able to do that? Yes, he is. He's able to heal. He's able to redeem. He's able to do the miraculous. And so you need to trust God in those moments. But intimacy is important. And ladies, if there is a history there where there's a struggle or you've been abused or what have you, you know, the Lord can help you and can heal. God can heal those wounds, and he can bring you through. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Number six. I didn't say all the scriptures. You guys go and you look up those scriptures, okay?
Okay.
Be watchful. I'm going to have you recognize three R's. Are you ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The roadblocks. Number two. Red flags, and number three, rhythms. Now, what do I mean by roadblocks? There are moments in our lives that sometimes you feel stuck, right? You feel stuck in the marriage, or not in the marriage, but you feel stuck in your relationship. And so you have to get pushed through those barriers, but that means becoming vulnerable one to another. To realize there's something wrong here, we need to do something about it.
Yes.
So pushing through that,
yes.
Trying to get through that, but that takes time and trust with the two of you. Red flags. I want you to know that there is always a Johnny or a Susie. And what do I mean by that? For women, right? There's times that maybe there's a struggle in your marriage and here comes along, you know, Susie, you know, or Johnny. Johnny comes along for the woman, because for the man, it's the Susie. And they are wanting to console you. Oh, well, if I was your husband, right? There is always, and forgive me if you're Johnny. It's just a name. I don't mean it like that. But there will always be. The devil is lurking to see who he may devour. So be mindful, ladies, and be okay with your husband not being okay. I'm not talking about jealousy. I'm not talking about being domineering. I'm talking about if he sees something that we don't see, be okay with that. Hey, I'm not too comfortable with that. Okay, you know, because sometimes I'm like, what do you mean? What's the problem? You know, or you get an attitude. Trust one another. As you grow together, you learn to trust each other. And then also, let's look at our rhythms. Life gets busy, right? So you need to know what your ebbs and flows are. You need to learn, okay, this is a time maybe you can't get together, but take those moments. In the earlier session, Tim told me 15, 20 minutes when I get home from work, I need that time to just decompress and not be around anybody. And you need those moments, especially even with moms and, you know, as moms, or you work outside, you know, I work outside too. You need moments where you can go and take a walk or what have you. All right? All right, last but not least. I love that 1 minute. Perfect. Communicate. Listen to what I'm saying, ladies. It's not what you say.
It's how you say it.
It's not what you say, it's how you say it. 55%. Do you have that slide there?
No, I don't have it.
You didn't put it up there? In your, you'll see there. Do you know 55% of your Communication is body language and facial expressions. I love you.
Yeah.
I guess.
You do? You really? You really do? Everyone is watching you. Forgive continually by Tina Hook. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.